And we welcome to the program the one and only Scott Kaplan. Cappy, how are you? Good to hear Maybe from not. You. Michael's here. Mason's here. Hi, Sedano's Mace. Here.
We got there it. You are. Okay, got it.
We got a full ganger. Mace, can you hear everybody?
Yeah, I got it. By the way, Game of Games powered by Call Jacob. Winning matters. That's why after an accident, you go to calljacob.com or call 844-24-JACOB. That's 844-24-JACOB.
So did Bergman stop Mace from winning another month?
No, Mason, but Bergman may have gone, taken a step to winning the month himself.
Oh. Yeah, Bergman's got six now.
And so, Greg, I'm going to have to win tomorrow and Wednesday, and then I'm done. So just to tie you, I've got to go
Wednesday's
tomorrow.
Well, Wednesday's the last day.
Okay, so I can get half if I win them
what
both.
If Pepe
you can
Wednesday.
Get seven. You have
Pepe's got two.
How many do I have
Pepe.
Now?
You have three.
Oh,
so
I can get
to seven.
Okay, so I got to win both days, though. And then, Michael, you're doing Wednesday,
yes,
right?
Yes, I'm doing Wednesday. Okay. Come on, Pepe.
John, you're like the Rams.
I had a big year last year, and now I'm faltering.
Yeah. But it's like you're not mathematically dead yet, but you just have to go on a win streak.
Yeah. Now, Mason thinks that the Rams are dead.
I think they're literally dead.
I think that if they finish 9-8, which would mean they win out, which they're not going to do.
They're not going to win out.
But don't you think 9-8 makes it?
Yeah,
in the NFC,
probably,
it does.
But,
so mathematically, they're
doing,
yeah.
Okay. So I know they're playing.
I mean, I've watched them play, and they are not.
Yeah,
going to
I agree.
Off
with,
six
I agree with you. But because of that, George, if they are not mathematically eliminated, should they still play guys like Aaron Donald and Matthew Stafford and that gang?
Yeah, I think that what you saw this past week out of necessity, which is basically they're playing their preseason team, I think they should just continue developing guys. And at some point, you're going to have to tell Aaron Donald, hey, man, it's just not worth it. You're going to get
He's
hurt
got a
for
high
no
ankle sprain on top of all that.
Right.
He's done.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think in the end, this period is about evaluation. It's not about winning games at this point. I mean, you'd like to win, but I think it's about evaluating those guys. I think that's why they got rid of Darrell Henderson. They wanted to see what Kyren Williams could do, the kid they got out of Notre Dame. So we saw a lot of him yesterday. We saw a lot of Cam Akers. Lance McCutcheon was out there. We saw a lot of the younger guys, as you pointed out, George, who played during the preseason. And let's see what they can do and see if they figure into next year.
Michael thinks that John Harbaugh, who I think is one of the better coaches in the NFL, should be fired. Yeah, why do you think he should be fired?
They have blown more double digits fourth quarter leads because that defense, I could score on those guys.
Three.
They are ridiculous.
Most in NFL history in one season. Three double digit fourth quarter leads.
They have no clue how to stop teams at the end of games. It's time for him to go.
Wait a minute.
Just old Ravens teams, no defense. How about that?
I know.
That's
exactly.
This year.
It's sickening to watch every week. I don't understand why Ravens fans put up with it.
But they're 7-4. They're in first place in their division. It's not like they're the Rams.
It's not John Harbaugh's fault.
If you look,
if you look, by the way, and Michael, all they need is to get into the tournament, and they're going to be in the tournament.
If you look at their skill position players, they've deteriorated over the years. They're putting
too much. Fault.
No, that's the GM's fault. There's too much on Lamar Jackson, personally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But by the way, I will give you credit. You were right on him.
And you know who else I was right on?
Who?
Jalen Hurts, when he was at Alabama.
I don't remember that conversation. Oh. I didn't have it with you. But I remember Lamar,
George,
you and I, and Key and LZ did.
If it's a black quarterback, oh. Michael is all in.
Well, that's
no. If it's an athletic quarterback.
He was all in on, he was all in on Vince Young.
He was all in on
but
Christian.
But he was all in on Christian Tim Tebow, too.
And Christian McCaffrey.
That's right.
He was all in on Christian McCaffrey.
I said that boy's going to be good in the NFL. Yeah. Somebody else said, no, he can't do it because that kind of running back is not successful.
All right, so Michael and I look at the world through purple and gold color. Glasses, but
yeah, we
the
know.
Three of you don't. Sedano, Cap, and Mace.
Yeah, we know.
The Lakers have won 5 out of 6. Something or nothing, Sedano.
I mean, you're going to play the Spurs the rest of the season every game?
No, tonight we play Indiana.
No, but we
might have LeBron and AD.
They get paid too, Sedano.
I know. Actually, the Pacers have played pretty well this year. Yeah. But
they're 11-8. Lakers are 7-11.
Look, I think the Lakers are probably going to be where we originally thought. I think they're going to be kind of in that play-in area. And if I had to bet at the end of the year, if everyone's relatively healthy, that's going to be where they're at.
Cappy.
Hey, by the way,
five out of six.
That's much better than what we were talking about a couple weeks ago
when they were 2-10.
Well, we were talking about how the New Orleans Pelicans were going to have Wembanyama because of the Lakers.
You know who's all in on Wembanyama?
Well, Greg is out on Wembanyama. Did you hear this?
For some reason, Greg is not a Wembanyama.
What? Was not out on Wembanyama.
No. Yes, Mason? Did you and Ramona were doing the show.
I'll tell you exactly what
he said. He said, I don't believe in Wemby.
He says he's going to get hurt.
Words
That's
exactly.
what he said.
Oh, direct geez. Quote. I don't believe in Wemby.
I said,
Greg, what don't you like about him?
It's not that I don't like him. I say I get worried because because he's 7'5 and like a stick.
Right. He says he's going to be too fragile.
I think he's going to be a fragile.
There is a history of skinny 7'5. Like, look at Chet Holmgren. Holmgren.
Right.
Look at Greg Oden. Yeah. Look at Yao Ming. Look at Porzingis.
Well, Yao Ming was thick, though.
Yeah. Yeah. Yao's
weight so was Greg. Greg was not a small guy. No, thin guy. Kevin Durant is more a comp to Wembanyama than
but
those guys.
Michael, these guys who are 7'4", 7'5", have a history. Sean Bradley.
Ralph Sampson.
Yeah. Ralph Sampson.
I mean, look, the human body is not supposed to grow that much.
It's not ridiculous to suggest Wembanyama could get hurt.
But to say he's going to be the contrarian. He's the one guy that's saying he's out on Wemby.
Look, all I'm saying is
that someday he's going to be able to say maybe I told you about Wembanyama. I was the one.
You can laugh all you want. It's a legit take.
So Bergman, if you're the GM,
thank you, John.
If you're the GM,
right?
If you're the GM of the
get him, Bergman.
I'm not saying don't get him.
Get him, Bergman.
Okay, wait. Let's say you are.
Tell him, Bergman.
Let's say it's the you San Antonio Spurs.
Yeah.
Okay.
You're RC Buford.
Take Scooter.
You're going to take Scoot Henderson over Wembanyama?
I mean, you have to go. You have to take him. You have to take Wembanyama. But I just think,
I just think
there should be some worry about a guy that's 7'5 and 150 pounds.
So I could see Greg being RC Buford and telling Pop, being like, if he gets hurt, he's like, I tried to tell you. Right.
I would. I'd be like, look, man, I tried to go for Scoot Henderson, but you wanted to go with the guy that was 7'5 and 110 pounds.
Michael, if Bergman is an NBA GM and he gets the number one pick, would you offer him LeBron and AD for Wemby?
Oh, yeah.
You believe in him that much?
He's
legit. I do, too.
He is the best prospect I've ever seen.
Hey, Bergman, were you in Portland when Jordan was on the board and we passed up?
Sam Bowie.
That was Sam Bowie.
Were you up there?
No, you should have gone. Same thing with Durant and Oden.
No, Portland is a two-time loser.
Right, but Durant, people thought Durant wasn't going to be anything in the league because of his bench press. Yep. They thought he because he couldn't bench press that he wasn't going to be.
I remember that. That's a good point.
You know? Right, but I mean, like, look at him now, and now he's also hurt.
Right,
all
but
the
he's
time
also
now.
Thin as a rail.
Yeah.
Have you seen that, Francis?
But he's also like 6'8".
No, he's not.
That's 7'5".
No, Kevin Durant's like nearly almost 7 feet tall.
Yeah, oh yeah, he's 7 feet.
Yeah.
Have you seen that?
Wait,
French
Jay,
kid
Michael,
play?
Let me give you a harder one.
Mm-hmm.
Would you trade Curry for Wembanyama?
Not yet.
Boy,
I wouldn't.
You wouldn't because Curry's too valuable.
He still has. I think he's still the player in the league that creates the most havoc on the floor right now.
Yeah. But Wembanyama could do that, too. Shoots threes like Steph.
Yeah, I mean, 7-4. Ireland says that a high-level executive told him that if you get Wembanyama, your franchise value increases by half a billion.
Well, the Warriors don't need that, that's for sure.
No, they don't need that, right.
Yeah.
It'd be close, but I'd still take Steph in that scenario.
Is there any player, Michael, in the NBA you wouldn't trade for? What about Zion?
Yeah, I would trade Zion for maybe, you know, the only young guy.
He's the opposite.
I wouldn't trade Giannis.
I wouldn't trade Giannis.
He's still young. Luka probably wouldn't get traded
Luka.
What about Ja? He wouldn't trade Ja for
I don't think I'd trade Ja.
Not yet.
Yeah, these guys are too young and too fabulous right now, so I don't think he would trade for him. But everybody else is open game.
Yeah.
I think
that's
Boston
pretty amazing.
I think Boston would trade Jason Tatum for him.
I wouldn't.
If Danny Ainge was running the team, I think he would for
I
sure.
Think so.
I think Jason Tatum could win MVP this year.
It's possible. Yeah.
I mean, depending on how Luka, how the Mavericks finish.
I mean, I think Giannis is going to probably win again.
Yeah.
We've had enough of the Giannis fatigue to get back to Giannis. He's clearly the best player on the planet.
You know what's interesting?
AD
this season?
I wouldn't go that far.
AD is playing his best basketball since he's become a Laker. He's been really good this week.
Yeah.
For whatever reason, AD matches up with Embiid, and he owns him. He plays great. But Giannis owns AD.
Crushes him, yeah.
Yeah, so we'll see you guys both on the next trip.
I'll see you guys on Friday. I'll be there. I'm doing that game.
You're doing the Milwaukee game on Thursday.
Friday night.
Oh, crap. That means we missed the USC game. That's right.
Yeah, it's same night.
Yeah, because we're flying Thursday.
Yeah. Oh.
Well, the internet's working. We could watch the game on the plane.
Now, Michael,
the Milwaukee game is the same time as the USC.
Yeah, you guys,
game.
It's at the exact same time.
Turn it on at the broadcast location.
That's right. Michael will do that on his phone for sure.
On my iPad.
Yeah. Definitely.
Caleb Williams, incredible.
He's going to win the high school.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Michael, when you go to Milwaukee, does Kareem hook you up since he was,
me up. I never leave the room. Yeah. 80 degrees and room service.
It's 35 degrees on Friday.
Yeah.
High of 35.
You know what I say?
What's that?
9 holes instead of 18. If it's 35.
Are you serious?
Heck yeah.
You won't play golf in a hotel 35. Room.
That's where Whistling Straits is, Michael.
No, you will not play golf on Friday, will you?
No way.
No, it's too cold.
Yeah.
Yeah.
80 degrees in a hotel room.
Yeah, I like it toasty.
Oh, by the way, Captain, that's just the starting temp.
Yeah.
Oh, Michael has his way. He'll jack it up to 85.
Me and Sedano are from warm weather countries.
Yeah. You got moss growing on the walls. I mean, that's too warm.
You can't even breathe in a hotel room. It's 80 degrees.
It's like a sauna.
Right.
Yeah, and the funny thing is, I'm 67. That's as low as I, you know.
See, I am actually even though I grew up in a warm climate, I like a cold room. Oh, so I'm a 67 person as well.
Oh, I'm a little higher.
I'm a cold room guy.
Yeah. No, I'm 72.
72?
Yeah, because I'm kind of in between, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I like sleep like a burrito just taken out of the microwave.
Cappy, have you ever seen how Michael sets up a hotel room?
Oh, my God.
He's kind of taught me a little bit about things that sometimes now freak me out. Like when I come home, I'm always taking my shoes off and demanding everybody take their shoes off in my house, whereas I used to not be that way. But now I'm like, ugh, look where you people were. You
Michael
know?
Takes it a step further. He doesn't want his feet touching the carpet in his hotel room, even if he has his shoes off. So he will lay sheets on the floor. Yeah. He's like
a walkway path.
In Coming to America, he's like King Joffy Joffer. Yeah, he doesn't want to walk on the ground.
He's the rose petals.
When's the last time them carpets been shampooed in hotel rooms?
Probably a long time. Even at a Four Seasons.
I love when you get on these tangents. I love when you talk about hotel rooms and how untrustworthy you are, of how dirty they are.
First thing he Purells, do you want to guess, Cappy?
TV remote.
Remote control.
Yeah, remote control.
That makes sense.
Before the phone? You never used the phone,
Never used the phone except for room service. But
phones are filthy when you think about
and
it.
And also...
Do you use a tissue or something with the phone if you have to order room service?
Yeah, I just Purell it first.
Get
the bath towels and open them up and look at them, see if any stains are on them.
Now, do you guys stay at the haunted hotel, the Pfister, or no?
No, we're out of there.
Yeah.
And the hotel that we do stay in is not... I liked the Pfister.
So I'll tell you a funny story I was told today by one of the makeup ladies in the TV building. She was telling me they were there for the NBA Finals a couple of years ago, whatever it was. And the rooms in the Pfister, some of them, you know, some rooms have adjoining, right? Like have the door. Mm-hmm. Well, this room had two adjoinings, one on each side.
Okay.
And the two makeup ladies are in the room, and they knew that they were in the room next door, so they were just kind of like walking back and forth between each room. But they didn't know who was in the third room. And all of a sudden at night, someone starts banging and screaming on the third door, and they were freaking out. And the lady was like, "No, I'm not going to let you in. Oh my God!" Because she had heard all the stories about the haunted hotel.
Right.
And it was Richard Jefferson on purpose trying to scare
the door.
Them.
Good for him.
It was hilarious.
Yeah, that's awesome.
That's funny.
Yeah,
that's
very funny. Look at the story Michael Koger told us the other day, right? Some kids were tickling him in his sleep.
Koger's convinced that half of our hotels are haunted.
Yeah. Half of them?
Yeah, he won't Koger will not stay. If we get put in like the Pfister or in Oklahoma City, we used to stay in the Skirvin.
The Skirvin is the one.
We're not there anymore, but... Yeah. Koger would literally, him and Lou Williams, would literally check out of the hotel, and I would say, "What are you guys doing?" And their line was, "Brothers don't do ghosts."
Yeah.
Yeah, and they would go to another hotel and just check in under an assumed name, and because he said, "I'm not going to sleep if I stay."
The Pfister is kind of creepy.
It is.
Wait a minute, Michael Koger checks in under an assumed name?
Nick, because he doesn't want the ghost to follow him to the new hotel.
Good for him. Good for him.
Yeah, the Pfister's weird. That's a strange
It is.
You do feel like somebody's following you when you walk
in. Oh, it's confirmation bias. Somebody told you a long time ago it's haunted. Now you think everything that happens is because
Mace,
of a ghost.
There's a lot. I mean, maybe that is part of it, but there's a lot of stories from the Pfister. There's
a lot of
no
stories,
doubt.
Mace.
Yeah, just Google it, Mace. You can read about them. It's bad.
Oh, I know.
Mace, get on it.
Effie's
at the Skirvin.
Skirvin.
The Claremont's haunted. That's the one that stole my wine, the ghost.
Trudell stole your wine.
Trudell wasn't there. Just to mess with you.
I was during the finals. Trudell wasn't up there during the finals.
That's what you think. He's lurking around
everywhere.
The corner like you do when you sneak into the gym.
By the way, I loved LeBron tackling Trudell in pregame the other day. I saw that on his Instagram.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
By mistake? By accident? Or?
No, on purpose. He's just like bumping into him and stuff.
I'm very anxious about tonight because if LeBron and AD play, the Pacers are not terrible.
No, Halliburton is legit good.
What are they, like 11 and 8?
Let me end on this for Cappy and Sedano. So did you guys see what Ivica Zubac did yesterday?
Oh, incredible game.
All right, so he did that against Miles Turner.
Yeah.
31 points, 29 rebounds.
Mm-hmm.
Out-rebounded Turner 29-5. Cappy, would that give you pause trading for Miles Turner if you were a team that was looking at him? Because he's been on the trading block. Lakers are rumored to be interested, but there are other teams too. Would you hesitate to trade for Miles Turner after watching an average center light him up like that?
Answer yes, but go back to the previous question, which was, did you see what he did yesterday? Answer no.
Yeah, not very many people do. It's an afternoon game competing with NFL football with the Clippers.
Right.
But yeah, we could all pretend like we saw it.
Yeah,
31 points, 29 rebounds. He was one rebound away from the fourth 30-30 game in
NBA
history.
The only NBA Cappy cares about is the Lakers.
That's right.
He pays no attention to anything else.
100% accurate.
His answer whenever I bring something like that is, I did not know that.
It's like, dude, like, we don't really all know the...
That's what he does.
Right. We're not all on the receiving end. We're not all the NBA Today crew. You know what I'm saying? So I don't pretend.
You sound a little jealous there, Cappy.
I wouldn't say jealous.
Actually, I would defend Cappy here and say he's being honest.
Yeah.
You don't even watch the most exciting player in the game?
Which one?
Ja.
If he's on TNT and he's playing against the Lakers,
that's it.
All right. Wow. Sinano, Michael thinks Ja is the most athletic guard in NBA history.
Ever. NBA history? Russell Westbrook in his early age.
No, he couldn't do the stuff in the air that Ja does.
I don't know, man.
And he doesn't change direction like Ja does. Never change direction. Ja goes side to side as well as straight forward.
Yeah. I think that's high praise.
It is. Look, he's in the conversation.
The guy does freaky stuff, man. Remember that block?
How do you know what he's doing in the bedroom?
A lot of us do freaky stuff.
Yeah. Michael, more athletic than Dwayne Wade.
Stuff.
Wait, are you kidding me, Dwayne?
Young Dwayne Wade who went to the rim every time.
Did you see that block shot he did on Avery Bradley last year?
Yeah, that was
don't judge freaky stuff.
Unbelievable.
You know?
All right, Sedano and Cap coming up next. Mace, hope you feel better, man.
Thank you, man. Mace, and
what the hell happened to you?
I've got the RSV.
There's no way.
That's like a kid disease, isn't it?
I've got kid disease.
He's, Mace is young at heart.
You better be ready for next Friday, pal. You got to get healthy.
I'll be there. I will be there. Supercross Talk brought to you by Coors Light, keeping Southern California chill all season long. See you back here tomorrow at 1. Sedano and Cappy next, 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Yeah, come on.
Bow, ba-da-bum. Bee-ba-da-boo. Do-da-da. Bee-ba-da-boo. Bidding-boom-boom. There were a lot of people there asking. There were fans of the show and were chatting us up. And a couple did ask about you, Cappy. And I said, what do you think? And they said, yeah, that's exactly what they said.
I swear to you, though, I did not see one picture until Chris just said that you guys were there. The whole weekend, I thought, freaking George, man. Guy talks to me about coming up to this game, doesn't even go to the game himself. Like, I haven't seen one picture from the game.
I did post an Instagram picture.
God, I feel so good that
my story.
Yeah. I feel so good that I didn't see it.
Missed a great game, too.
Well, I saw the highlights of the game. Amazing game.
Yeah.
But I didn't see it on your social. I didn't see it on Chris's. I didn't see it on Beto's.
Yeah, it was all over there, all weekend.
That must mean that I did not spend as much time over the Thanksgiving holiday on social media. God, I feel good about that. I'm not even joking.
Okay.
Missed the whole thing. Were you guys on the sidelines?
No, we had great seats, though.
Was there a lot of people there?
I would say like 30,000.
Come on.
Yeah, I'm being honest. Yeah, 25, 30 easily.
Wow, that's amazing.
It was a long line to get in. Like, we were there early to get seats because it's general admission, but... We got good seats, and there was a ton of people there. It was a great event.
And who sat in the middle? Did Chris sit in the middle of you and Beto?
Chris sat in the middle.
Yeah, because, I mean, if you're going to huddle up and snuggle to stay warm.
Yeah, he's the one that needs to be in the middle there.
Yeah, he got it, because he brings the heat.
Correct. Although we were all freezing.
Were you not properly attired?
I had three layers. I had a hoodie, then I had a vest, a puffy vest.
Yeah.
And then on top of that, I still had a jacket. Like, and I was okay up top. What I screwed up was my feet. I was
wearing flip flops?
No, I was wearing sneakers and socks, but I needed to go thicker socks, clearly.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah. It was 49 degrees, and then the Santa Ana winds, you know.
Dude, 49 degrees for me might as well be 49 below. I can't be out in that kind of weather. Yeah. That's cold.
It was fun, though.
Listen, it looked like a blast. The game looked incredible. And it sounds like you guys had a hell of a good time. I'm jealous.
We did. We did have a hell of a good time.
God, I was so close on Saturday to coming up for the USC Notre Dame game. Like, I was this close.
Yeah, that was it was a sellout, right? So
even as the game kicked off, I looked over at a buddy of mine and I'm like, "You want to go up for the second half? Like,
no,
we
way.
Can make it for the second half."
Oh, stop.
But I didn't do it.
Yeah.
I didn't spend as much time on the roads this weekend. Thankfully.
Yeah.
What
would Rachel have said if you wanted to go up for the second half?
You know what, George? I'm glad you asked that question. As a matter of fact, thank you. Saturday may have been the greatest day of my life.
Oh.
Yeah. Because Rachel puts on what she calls her Friendsgiving.
Oh, okay. I thought maybe like somehow you got, like, you won some money, or your ex-wife is giving back some money or something. I don't know.
Oh, my God. If that day should come, George,
yeah,
that will then replace
the greatest day of my life. Okay,
right,
got it.
Saturday afternoon, Rachel has a Friendsgiving.
Okay.
So she invites over all of her friends.
All of her friends.
See, very good ears by you.
Yeah.
Very, very good.
Uh-huh.
So I'm sitting on the couch, and I got everything I want. Michigan, Ohio State early.
Yeah.
I've got USC, Notre Dame late.
Yeah.
My Pitt Panthers annihilating your Miami Hurricanes in the
terrible.
Later window.
Oh, it was awful.
Yeah. I mean, I got all this college football. I got the Laker game on Saturday evening.
Uh-huh.
And she keeps coming in to check on me. "Hey, are you okay?" I'm like, "Yeah, I'm great. Why?" "Well, you know, just everybody's out back talking." I'm like, "Yeah, I'm having the best time of my entire life right now. I'm watching every single game that I want to watch.
Right.
I'm flipping channels. I know everything that's going on."
Yeah.
"Normally, you got me out listening to a band on a Saturday night. I'm having the best night of my life."
Right.
Oh, it was great.
And what did she say when you responded that way?
She was like, "Okay, well, if you're having fun, you know, we'll be out back, you know, hanging out, doing things."
Yeah. Be drinking all your tequila mandala that's left.
Right. Well, there wasn't any left, unfortunately.
Yeah.
So it was great, though.
Yeah.
I'm jealous about Friday night. I would love to have gone.
It was so much fun.
I appreciate
it. It really
the invitation.
Was. Like, I was like, I, when I saw it pop up, you get that kind of rivalry, and I'm like, let's do it. And then I forgot how cold the Rose Bowl gets, and then I was kind of like, can you run the ball a little bit?
Let's run that clock, coach.
Yeah. And there was none of that. It was like 3.5 hours that game for a high school game.
Damn.
Yeah, it was a long game.
So you see any future NFL talent?
Oh, man.
You got a scout's eye.
Definitely. Well, Beto was telling me there's like 50 kids between the two teams that are Division I guys. Yeah, like, it's crazy.
Right.
Yeah.
And you see any NFL quarterbacks out there?
I don't know if I saw any NFL quarterbacks, though.
You didn't see the next Caleb Williams?
I think modern day's quarterback is the better individual player. But I don't know if either of them are NFL quarterbacks. No.
Not yet, huh? You can't project that far?
I don't know, but I can tell you that Caleb Williams is going to be a bleeping stud. I've been on this train for a while, and you've mocked me. But,
I have?
But you have. You have. You have mocked me. You have given me the, you just mentioned right there, the scout's eye, all that. But this kid, greatest college football quarterback I've ever laid my eyes on. He's only a sophomore.
Well, the kid is great. I mean, there's no doubt. On Saturday night, what he had was the entire world watching. You know, you're playing at the Coliseum in downtown Los Angeles against Notre Dame on national television on Saturday night.
Yeah.
The world is watching.
Yes.
And the kid puts on a performance for the ages.
Yeah, I thought Fowler nailed it. You and I called him a wizard and a magician with the way his escapability, his start and stop, and, you know, kind of the way he kind of can pivot out of anywhere, throw it at all the different angles. I thought Fowler did an even better job of surmising it, hence why he's Chris Fowler and I'm not, is he just called him the human joystick. And that's absolutely what he is.
Yeah, I'm not Chris Fowler either, and I didn't use the word wizard, just to be clear. It's not a word I use, but...
That no, that was said, my word. My
okay,
word.
Just want to say, you know, wizard. You know. But I'll tell you what, man, Chris Fowler's awesome. Just this is a complete side note, George.
Okay. Yeah.
This is a Chris Fowler rant right here.
Oh, okay. Rack
I freaking love Chris Fowler.
Yeah, he's great.
I love that guy.
You like Herbie?
I do.
Yeah.
But not the way I love.
Oh.
And I'll tell you why.
Because you were also, you were skeptical of Herbie on Thursday Night Football with Uncle Al, but you came around on that.
Yeah, no, I think Herbie's done a really good job from what I watched.
But on college
Thursday
football,
night.
you like him a lot. You don't love him like you love Chris Fowler, but you like him a lot.
I like Kirk Herbstreit a lot because I love the way that he grinds to go from the desk of the game day to get on a private jet to get to the next stop to be prepared. I mean, I think that's super cool.
Yeah.
You know? But Chris Fowler,
yeah.
I don't know about the rest of you guys, Chris Fowler's been a part of my life on television.
Oh, I know what you're going to say.
Since like the mid to late 80s.
Were you watching Scholastic Sports America?
George, if you made it onto that show in 1987, 1988, you were a future pro.
Yeah.
You know, you were Alonzo Mourning.
You were definitely someone that was going to be Hall of Fame potential worthy.
You were
going
to be a pro. And I'll tell you, my freshman year in college, there were two guys that were featured on that show, Scholastic Sports America.
Okay.
And they were both part of my same recruiting class. Yeah. And when I met these two guys, I was like, oh, hell yeah, I know you, bro.
Yeah.
You're the guy from this and that, and you're the guy that drives the Porsche, and your dad's rich, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, these guys are stars. They're on Scholastic Sports America.
Right.
In fact, Kirk Herbstreit was playing quarterback for Ohio State. This is our freshman year. And Chris Fowler's standing on the sideline. It's a Saturday night game, Pitt versus Ohio State on ESPN.
Right.
Fowler's standing on the sideline. I'm not even watching the game anymore, George.
You're looking at Fowler.
I'm talking to Fowler.
Yeah.
In uniform.
Fowler's a very worldly dude, too.
And now if you watch him on social media, all the like inspirational stuff that he does.
I don't know him at almost at all, other than a few interactions. But he is a very, very gentlemanly like man.
You know what? If Chris Fowler is still in L.A. right now and he's driving around.
You want him to know that you love him.
Bro, I love you, man.
All right. You know, I had that same interaction once with Dan Patrick many years ago.
And you told him you loved him?
Straight up. I was at a wedding, and he was there as well.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously we knew of each other, but obviously I knew of him. I was surprised he knew of me, and I saw him, and I had had a cocktail or two, and I looked at him. He was walking one way. I was walking the other. I said, DP! And he's like, George! And I'm like, bro, I love you. And he's like, I love you too!
That's nice. You know, it's nice to tell people that you love them.
Yeah.
You know?
Are you saying I should say that to you more?
I mean, it would be nice if the two of us would like end the show every day from now on going, all right, see you tomorrow. Love you.
I mean, I don't know. It's a little much.
Is it?
I don't know. I like you a lot.
Yeah. Well, Chris Fowler, my man, if you're listening, freaking love you, bro.
All right. Can we get into the actual game, though?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Let's do that.
Yeah, let's do that in the other side. Plus the Lakers. You mentioned them earlier. LaDoctor. My guy LaDoctor yesterday. We got to get into LaDoctor.
Freaking LeBron.
Yeah. All right. We'll get to the USC game, what it all means kind of moving forward as we get ready for the Pac-12 championship, and LaDoctor next. Come together because opposites attract.
You know.
Come together because opposites attract. Who would have thought? We would be lovers, and I steal the covers, and he makes it worse.
Isn't this the video that she did with the Pink Panther?
It was the cat.
The cat, yeah.
Scat Cat, I believe, or something like that.
That was not the Pink Panther?
We had this conversation, I feel like, once before about the cat. Only remembered the cat.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Cappy, I thought he was pink.
Do you know that we have a next week, we're only on Monday. You know that, right?
No, let me think about this for a quick second. Tuesday's a Laker game.
Yeah.
Wednesday's a Laker game.
Yeah.
Thursday is a Rams game.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh, man.
And then Friday, another Lakers game. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. We're only on Monday of next week?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to Hawaii.
Get out of here. Seriously.
Are you really?
Not kidding. I realized that like a week ago, and I was just like, I need to get the hell out of here.
Yeah, you should.
Really?
That's awesome.
Yeah, leave Monday night.
Yeah.
Thursday. We're off Thursday and Friday, huh?
Yeah.
This is unbelievable.
Listen, here's what you do. You bargain with Rachel now.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh,
you get stuff done with Rachel next week to bargain for other days. It's like a credit account. You know what I mean? Like, you put in the time with Rachel next week because we don't have the show, and then that way you get a date in return or a couple of dates in return that you want.
So he can go to the Dead Meow 5 concert.
Right!
Yeah, when is that Dead Meow 5 concert?
December 10th.
We're all going to go, Cap, so we're going to go without you.
Yeah, that's the weekend in the desert that I'm committing to.
You're going to have serious FOMO.
I know.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah. By the way, speaking of FOMO, 710 ESPN is the only station giving you a chance to win $1 million, not a national contest. Cappy and I will knock on your door if you get this right. When you hear the cue to call, be caller 7 to win 2 tickets to Rams Raiders on December 8th, which is that Thursday we were just talking about, and you get a shot at $1 million. If you're caller 7, you'll win the tickets automatically. You're welcome. And then all you have to do is pick the Super Bowl contestants, the two teams, and the score that each team will score. And if you nail all of that, we'll knock on your door with $1 million.
You know, today, if I had to pick the Super Bowl, if I called in today, George, and I was lucky enough to win my way
right,
onto the air.
It is Million Dollar Monday. Today, it's going to happen. There'll be a cue to call today.
Right. So if I were on the other end of the line, you were like, all right, Cap, who's your Super Bowl pick? Give us your pick and your score.
Yeah.
Right now, you tell me. I got Kansas City and Philadelphia. These are not exactly, you know, long shot picks here.
Right.
But I would have Kansas City 38, Philadelphia 31.
Yeah, I like that. By the way, I'm going to give people a hint. This today, if you are caller 7 on Million Dollar Mondays, you're going to win Rams Raiders tickets, okay?
I'll be there.
There you go. Laura's going to be there.
In house.
And then you will have your chance to pick the Super Bowl like Cappy just did. And if you nail it, we're going to give you $1 million. I'm going to give you a hint. It's going to happen between 6 and 6:30 today. The cue to call.
You sure about that?
No, it's not.
You 100% positive?
Oh, no, it's not.
Today we're out.
Actually, we're out early.
I was going to say.
How about this?
Come on, do better.
5:30 and 6.
There you go. 5:30 and 6.
Okay.
Did better.
Yeah. Did you better. Staying late or something?
Right.
Yeah. Well, you could have also thought that maybe Michael and Sliwa are giving it away.
Oh, that's true. That's true. Know,
so there's that. Mm. But no, 5:30 and 6, right?
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Between 5:30 and 6, we're going to give it away. So you got it. You can, at the very least, you're winning Raiders Rams tickets, right?
By the way, we should do that. We should go to that game.
I'm going.
I mean, it's next Thursday.
We don't have to work.
Oh, she's in Hawaii.
Oh, she's going to Hawaii.
Don't you have to work the next day, George?
No.
Don't you have a game or something? Don't you have to go broadcast
like
a game
out of town,
somewhere?
Yeah, to
go to Milwaukee?
Yeah.
No, hold on. No. I'm in Phoenix for Wednesday night.
Oh, okay.
Oh,
so I'll be back on Thursday.
Thursday, December 9th, right? December 8th.
Yeah.
December 8th. Yes.
Yeah, it's Thursday. Mm-hmm.
Well, Thursday, December 8th. I'll go.
If I don't go to Hawaii, I'll go.
Yeah.
I'd go to Hawaii.
I mean,
yeah,
I
me
want
too,
to.
Girl.
I'm just like trying to plan it last minute, you know.
Where in Hawaii? Maui?
Well, I wanted to go to the northern island, Kauai.
Uh-huh, Kauai, yeah.
I wanted to go there, but right now it's a little cold there and it's like rain season.
Yeah. Oh, so I have a friend of mine who's there right now. He's sending me pictures every day. Now, unless he's lying, which frankly, I wouldn't put it past him.
I mean, it's not cold, you know? But I want to be like 80, 85 degrees. Like,
no, that's not going to happen now, though.
Well, no, now it isn't. On the Big Island, right now, it's like,
yeah, it's like in the 60s, high 60s.
It's during the day. It's in the 80s.
Yeah?
Because they're way more south than I realized, I guess. I was looking on the map just because
I
want to go wherever's
warm. Kauai is north, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, we'll figure this out, Cappy. Maybe we'll go.
All right, sounds good to me.
Can you convince Rachel to go? Is that part?
Well,
of
like what you're saying. I mean, I'm putting time in. Right. I mentioned her Friendsgiving this past Saturday.
Yeah.
You know, she didn't realize that I wasn't bored. I wasn't having a bad time. I was having the best day of my life because I sat on a couch and watched college football and the Laker game on Saturday.
And she left you
all
alone.
Day. Let me do my own thing.
Yeah, she left you alone. Yeah,
oh, it was wonderful.
All right, so Cappy, let's finish USC and let's get into the Lakers. This is the greatest USC season. Single season. You have to go back to 2008 where they were 12-1. Like, you got to go back a long time. Now, I know they had the Sam Darnold Rose Bowl year, but that wasn't this. Because remember, that season, I believe they started 1-2. So that was one of those, like, you're like, oh. And this season, they were a possession away from being undefeated at the moment. If Cam Rising at Utah doesn't, you know, go nuts there at the end of that game and then gets the 2-point conversion at home. Now, granted, they had the Oregon State game, which is a tight game, right? And they were, you know, nail biter there as well. There've been the UCLA game was a nail biter, but it doesn't matter. All that matters at the end is the wins and losses column. And this is the best season, single season, regular season they've had going back 14 years,
yeah.
Man.
I know, it's hard to believe. I know it feels like it's hard to believe, but in between the end of Pete Carroll and where we are today,
yeah.
I'm not saying that they didn't have good teams or good players or good wins, but there's that kind of that lost era, if you will.
Yeah.
You know? And the best thing that happened to USC this weekend, which I did not see, George.
Was
I didn't
Boney
know,
coming here?
Well, no, not that.
Oh.
It was
Boney got Lincoln Riley.
Listen, Mike Bone, make no mistake, okay? His name is not heard very often. You know, you don't read about Mike Bone all that much.
You hear him here, though.
You can hear him on this radio show if you want to.
We talk about him all the time.
But I'll tell you this right now. Mike Bone has very quietly taken over the USC athletic department. And do I have to go through a list of accomplishments? But you can see it just with football, to go out and get a coach that no one even really thought was available.
Right.
To steal him, essentially. Yeah. I say that in an endearing sort of way, to take him. You know?
I don't know if anyone uses stealing with an endearing
term.
Well,
because, you know, like, stealing doesn't, I don't mean to make it seem like you did something underhanded.
So what you're saying is, like, the only way I think stealing can be endearing is if, like you say, he stole your heart. You know what I mean? Like, he stole Lincoln Riley's heart.
Right. Yeah. No, there were, Lincoln Riley was not a name that people were going, hey, he's an available free agent.
No, absolutely not.
So what he did is he went in, you know, and he pulled off a coup that no one saw coming.
Okay.
Then Lincoln Riley comes to SC and brings his quarterback with him.
Yeah.
And then once again, it just sort of happened in like the snap of a finger. USC became the cool place again.
Right.
Because it was always the cool place. But then it wasn't so cool when they weren't winning or weren't competing for national titles.
Correct.
But then they got the coach from Oklahoma and the quarterback from Oklahoma and the receiver from Pitt.
And they overthrew the government in Oklahoma. Oh, no, not that kind of coup. Different coup.
Different sort of thing. It wasn't so military necessarily.
Yeah.
It was more financial.
Right.
But then they became the cool place to transfer to.
Mm-hmm.
And so...
Well, and he got his quarterback, let's be honest. There's that part of the equation.
100%.
Yeah.
But George...
Because if they don't have this quarterback, they're not this good.
100%.
Yeah.
But... the credit that Lincoln Riley deserves, in my opinion, more so than anything else, more than bringing his quarterback, more than hitting the transfer portal, more than understanding NIL, etc.
Yeah.
How you can build a team with this much turnover in under one season so that you could be this ahead of schedule, that to me is what is so impressive about what Lincoln Riley's
it's
done.
It's incredible. And here's the thing. The problem now becomes, can they avoid Georgia? And that becomes tough. Because there's not a lot of scenarios where they can avoid Georgia. But nonetheless, still an incredible season. And I give them at least a puncher's chance because of Caleb. But, I mean, if they have to play Georgia, it's going to be, it could be tough.
It might be. I would suspect it would be.
Yeah, it'd be really tough.
I mean, Georgia's the best team in the country, and they play in the best conference in the country.
I mean, they're literally, think about this last year. The number one overall pick was one of their backups.
Yeah.
That's how good they are.
Yeah. Lindsay, did you say it would be a bloodbath?
It could be.
I was saying to George during our pre-show meeting that I feel like...
Georgia would do that to anybody, by the way.
Yeah. I feel like the CFP, the committee, should probably take these matchups into account when they're coming up with the four.
Here's what she's really trying to do. Find a way to get Ohio State back in. Yeah.
But don't you guys remember the last 2 years when there was games that were complete blowouts and people were like, I don't know, maybe we got to change this because this isn't
cool. Well, that's why they're going to 12.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, I think that's too much. I think they should just do 6, personally.
But. Yeah, but still, I just feel like nobody's going to want to watch. Like, it's not going to be as good of a game, you know?
Ohio State has great talent, but they have come up short.
Coach stinks.
Ohio State getting beat at home.
No.
And not destroyed.
Not just getting beat. And not just getting destroyed. They were 9-point favorites at home, okay? They had lost last year to this team, so it was like a revenge factor to their biggest rival. They got completely obliterated in that second half.
And honestly, the way it kept going late...
To a bunch of backups, too, on top of that.
The Michigan running back, the 75-yard run,
Edwards,
the 85-yard run.
Yeah.
Incredible. And so... I know what's going to happen. I've already started to see it.
I love that you watched the game, by the way.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Why would I not be watching
the
game?
I mean, Rachel, you know.
Well, right, but I've told you already. This was like the best day of my life.
I'm saying I'm glad you're ready for the show today.
Hey, dude, Suzanne, Rachel's girlfriend, is a chef. She comes over, and she takes this, stuffing and mashed potato, and she makes it into, a patty.
Yeah.
And then she, flash fries it on both sides.
Yeah.
Then she takes it and puts it on the plate and puts turkey and gravy over it.
Yeah.
And then, a boiled egg and then cranberry sauce all over. Dude, it's the next day. It's like the after Thanksgiving hangover sort of thing.
Yeah, that sounds a little excessive for me.
Oh, dude, it was completely excessive. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
But it was bomb.
Yeah.
It was fire.
Yeah. I think USC, I would love USC to get to a place where they don't have to play Georgia, and I would feel much better. But nonetheless, to your point, an incredible season. And Caleb's coming back next year. He's the best quarterback on the planet in that sport, and he's coming back. This is going to be fantastic for this program.
This kid really did, though, go out on Saturday night and probably, I know a lot of people saying it.
He won.
But he probably, with that performance, won a Heisman Trophy. Again,
he did.
You're playing at the Coliseum.
Listen, if he didn't, then all the other voters should have their voting rights revoked.
Well, you know, a lot of these voters, George.
Revoked.
But you
out.
Know
out.
How many of them have Pa-fuera. Votes Pa-fuera. And don't watch. You know these guys don't
yeah,
watch,
yeah, but they
right?
had to have watched the Notre Dame game. That well, thing was on prime
that's,
time.
That's what I'm saying to you.
Yeah.
Saturday night, prime time, national TV against Notre Dame. You put on that kind of performance, that's what wins you the Heisman
if
Trophy.
If you don't vote for Caleb Williams, number one, because
then
you
what's going to happen? What
you
are you going to do?
You vote like 1, 2, 3 or whatever.
Yeah, what are you going to do?
I can no longer take your college football analysis seriously.
Really? Jeez, yep. You guys hear that?
Yep.
All you lame voters out there that still have votes that we don't even understand why you have those votes. You don't even watch college football.
I'm going to never take your college football analysis seriously ever again.
Ever.
That's it. You're done.
Done. Finished.
Yep. Speaking of finished, this segment is finished. We'll get to LaDoctor and the Lakers and their run here of late in a moment.
Yeah.
By the way, did you say earlier, and by the way, The Babadook is like a movie I would never watch.
Just never looks, heard of it, just, ever.
Have you ever seen it?
I mean, I've heard of it. I've never seen it.
Never heard of it, just nor looks, seen it.
It's terrifying.
It looks pretty stupid,
though. It does look stupid, and I think that I ended up watching it on a whim, like it was on something.
Yeah, I hope you didn't go to the theater to watch it.
No, and it's terrifying, I'm telling you.
Oh, I believe that it's terrifying. I also believe it looks ridiculous. So
when he said Baba whatever, I was like, Baba Ganoush? What the Baba hell movie
Duke.
Is that?
Babadook.
Babadook.
Never heard of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, he like haunts you out of a children's book.
I mean, listen, horror movies they do the job. They are very scary, don't get me wrong. Like Saw, there's like 37 Saw movies. They're all individually scary.
I don't think that's scary at all.
But
they're like a mind F.
Right.
Yeah.
But
a mind F.
Yeah.
Psychological thriller.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Hmm.
Don't worry, Cappy. It's a bad word that I can't
say.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah.
Stood for.
Just a mind bleep. How about that?
Okay, gotcha. I wasn't sure we were talking about Frank.
Fudge, yeah. Mind fudge.
Yeah, you
okay,
know.
Gotcha.
So, sorry, I hit the wrong button. But the it's just not my kind of movie. But nonetheless, Cappy.
Yeah.
LaDoctor.
Mm.
This video, I didn't watch this part live because I was flipping around. I had something on the iPad and this, that, and the other. But I found the video of Russ getting hit in the head. Which, by the way, Zach Collins.
I mean, dude, it's an atomic elbow. I mean, it's straight out of the Dusty Rhodes playbook.
I will say this, though. The forehead, particularly, is a very, like, sensitive area where, you know, you hit it the wrong way, it's going to bleed, right? Like, there's no doubt about that. Hence, to your point, why wrestlers used to be able to do the blood stuff all the time. Like, you know, Ric Flair. There's a famous meme or gif or whatever you want to call it, of Ric Flair, right? Like going, woo! And he's got blood in his blonde hair or whatever.
I feel like you sent that to me earlier today, as a matter of fact, in a group text that we're in.
No, it was when we were talking about Russ and LeBron.
Yeah.
See, there was a group text.
Because you mentioned the wrestling, and I said, so I sent that gif.
It is kind of funny, though, that Russ got smacked in the head.
Hard.
With an elbow, split his forehead open, right?
Zach Collins tossed, yeah.
He gets up to get into Collins' face.
Yeah.
LeBron is there to be the peacemaker.
Well, not really. At first, he was like, he was holding Russ back.
Well, that's
what
I mean.
He was barking, but he was barking at Zach Collins.
Right, like, but he's holding Russ back because you can't get Russ tossed. You can't get Russ off to the side.
They can't lose that game.
Right.
Right.
So first thing is you got LeBron kind of holding him back, and then it's so beautiful.
Yeah.
It is such a beautiful thing to see. You know what LeBron? LeBron
got
cares for. LeBron cares for Brody. LeBron loves Brody.
Well, I would say LeBron.
Brody.
I would say LeBron.
What are you laughing at?
I would say LeBron cares enough for Brody that as a human being, if you're bleeding, you're going to help someone.
No.
But
this
was
is
a
different.
Little, like, it was a little excessive, but not in a bad way. I just thought. He was like,
it was very,
super attentive.
Yeah,
it was like, come here, darling. Come here. Hey, you got schmutz right here all over your forehead.
Not,
come
not
over
schmutz,
here, Bubba.
It was bleeding. Sorry.
Come here, Bubba.
I saw
come
it
here.
More as like, well, put pressure on the wound. Stat. Yeah. Hurry up. Come on, guys. He's bleeding really bad. Like,
you know
I saw
what I
more
thought?
That.
Yeah. I thought it was like, you know how when LeBron's not playing and he's not in uniform, but there's some barking going on at the referees?
Right, and he's there barking.
Right. LeBron is like essentially coaching the team because that's what he chooses to do at that time. In this particular instance, he was like, hey, the training staff's like, come on, LeBron, we got it. He's like, no, I got this.
Yeah.
You know, I don't need trainers to give the amount of love because this is not just about fixing his forehead. This is about showing Brody, I love you, man, okay? And we can do great things together because we're a team now.
Yeah.
We weren't a team last year. We might not have even been a team early this year, But now I got you, dog. When your head is split open, I'll be there with a towel. That's love, George.
And he was there.
You want to know the reciprocation part of it? The only issue I'm going to have right now is chronology.
Yeah.
There's a play in the game. This is on Saturday evening where LeBron is streaking down the floor and he throws the ball over to Brody.
And Brody throws it back at him.
No, no. Oh. Not throws.
Lobs it.
Oh, George, it was a volleyball tip with the fingertips. It was smooth and it was and it was unselfish.
Right.
And it was Brody saying to LeBron,
I got you, bro.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, let me ask you something.
Yeah.
In games 3, 4, 5, 6 of this season, was there the love between these two guys?
No.
Something's changed, George.
Yeah, Russ is not playing as many minutes with LeBron.
Okay, that's one. That's good. That's good analysis by you.
There's that.
It's good analysis. Okay.
Yeah.
Anything else?
They've gotten a little more used to each other.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, both.
Anything else?
Two things can be true at the same time.
Okay, I'll throw a couple more things at you.
Go ahead.
Brody has finally done something that none of us thought he could ever really do, although a lot of us rooted for him to do.
What's that?
He became a team guy.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. It was less about being a team guy and not being a team guy or whatever. I think it was more about just like stylistically them fitting together, which still isn't a great fit, but I mean, it's okay.
See, I'm not all about that style, George. I'm about that chemistry.
Mm-hmm. Right, but the style helps the chemistry.
I understand.
Yeah.
But in this particular instance, if you don't necessarily have the style, can you make up for it with some chemistry? Last year? No. Early this year? No. Right now? Maybe it's because they're playing San Antonio? Yes.
I also think Darvin Ham has helped a lot in getting Russ to understand a role.
I completely concur.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of reasons why all of a sudden the Lakers are not just winning games, but they look like they're actually enjoying being on the floor together.
For now.
For now.
Yeah, because here's the thing.
Yeah.
You got to win tonight against Indiana. I know Indiana's playing pretty good ball right now, but they're still a young team. Like, Tyrese Haliburton, I think, is going to be an all-star in this league for a long, long time. He's an incredible player, and I think he's going to be the guy that helps, part of whatever helps lead Indiana in whatever reconstruction or resurgence that they end up having. Because Indiana historically has been, even though they haven't won an NBA championship, I believe they won an ABA championship, but you know, they've always been a very competitive team. I mean, for many years, obviously that was at the feet of Reggie Miller. But even beyond that, right? Paul George had really good years there. They went to the conference finals against LeBron a couple times. They've been a respectable franchise.
I mean, what are you forgetting about, like, the Rick Smits era here?
Well, that was also with Reggie Miller.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, just
wanted
to put that out
there. Duncan Dutchman.
I just thought I'd throw in a name that I could come up with.
Yeah, that's fine. I mean, you could have gone with the Duncan Dutchman. You could have gone with any of the Davis brothers, even though they're not really brothers. Antonio and Dale.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, just, you know, I was going to throw in Rick Smith.
I mean, Jalen Rose, our colleague, played there for a while. They went to the finals and, you know, played against Kobe and Shaq. Mm-hmm. Mark Jackson, our other colleague, also played there with Reggie Miller.
Okay.
Yeah, they were good. They
so
went
that
deep.
Was more the Reggie Miller era than the Rick Smith era is what you're saying.
Yeah, yeah, definitely Reggie Miller era.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Well, look, they do need to win tonight.
But they need to win tonight, and honestly, they need to beat the Blazers, too. The Blazers are faltering a little bit. They're a young team. Dame is not playing. Like, they need to beat them without Dame. You need to win these type of games.
And they're at home. Like, build some excitement.
Right.
Like, make the fan base believe. You had a 3-game winning streak. Then you lost to Phoenix. No shame there.
Yeah.
Then you come back and you win, too. And granted, they're both at San Antonio, but at least they're on the road.
Right.
But you know, that, get some energy going.
Yeah, because then the schedule starts to get tough again. Because you got, as I mentioned, Milwaukee on Friday. I'll be there for ESPN.
I won't be there on Friday.
You will not, no.
Just to let everybody know.
Me and John and Michael will be in the building
together.
I
will not be there.
Yeah, you will not.
I'm out of the league.
The Wizards, they should win that game, although they're respectable this year. The Cavs, tough game. Tough game against Lindsay's Cavs. At Toronto, always a tough game. Nick Nurse.
I heard John say earlier today, John Ireland say, we won't arrive to Toronto till about 5 a.m. that morning.
Right.
So that's going to be a really tough one.
Back to back. And Toronto's tough to begin with.
Dude, I was thinking about betting the house on that game.
Wait, they put them in a back to back game when they have to go through customs? That's bull bleep.
But it's also a short trip from Cleveland to Toronto.
Yeah,
I mean, it's literally you could drive it in less than 3 hours.
I know. It's still annoying.
Is that like now an acceptable term, bull bleep? Is that what we use around here?
I mean, it is around this show.
Yeah. I know. It really is. George, you've coined this.
Well, you know.
This is such bleepery.
Yeah.
So, and bull bleep.
And they got at Philly. I mean, they also have at Detroit, but they should win that one. So there's like a 4, you know, 5-game stretch there where
all on the road.
Yeah. And it's like, or six game stretch on the road, but four of them are really tough.
And you're pulling into the cold weather cities, you know, right in the beginning of the holiday season.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, you got to win these next two games, Monday tonight and Wednesday, while you're home.
Got to be 9-11 because chances are you're going to be like 10-15 when you get to Detroit at the end of that.
Boy, 10-15 sounds a whole lot better than the way things started at the early part of the year, right? Like 0-5.
Yeah, no, and look, just be in like 10. Just be in the play-in area. That's all I ask, okay? Just be in there. Just be in that range. I'm good with that. So,
all right.
Yeah.
Anyway. You hear that, LeBron?
Well, no. By the way, Dave McMiniman is going to join us at 5:15. We're going to ask him because there's new renewed trade talk going on about the Lakers.
Okay, let's do that.
He reported this earlier today on television, which is why I told Lindsay, get Dave on. Because you know what? Ask Dave. Dave will tell you. Yeah. Know that.
Did you do what you were told, Lindsay? I told you. Get him on the air.
I did within a minute.
Yeah.
60 seconds.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Ask Dave. Dave will tell you.
Exactly. All right. So coming up next, though, Cappy, you and I, we go around the NFL. Boom, 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 boom. Okay?
Okay.
All right. But we're going to do that next because the Raiders, big win, or is it? Rams, they've got issues. And Cappy's Chargers, and I say that facetiously.
What?
I say that facetiously. Put on a show yesterday. Cappy had to eat it yesterday with the Chargers.
Not really.
Yeah, you did.
Not really.
We'll talk about it.